imagine a real estate market where sellers clearly hold all the leverage and inventory is visibly shrinking, and yet home prices are actually dropping.
Right, which sounds completely backwards.
Yeah, it sounds fundamentally impossible. Like, it breaks the basic rules of supply and demand that we all, you know, learned in Econ 101.
It really does.
But if you look closely at Parker County, Texas, right now, the math is doing exactly that.
Yeah, it forces you to completely throw out the traditional textbook expectations. I mean, when you have a market flashing contradictory signals simultaneously like this, you can't rely on macro level assumptions anymore.
No, not at all.
You really have to look at the microscopic mechanics of what is actually happening on the ground.
And that is exactly what we are doing today in this deep dive. It's late July 2026.
The heat is definitely here.
Oh, absolutely. The infamous Texas summer heat is currently baking the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And for many of you listening, the back to school clock is loudly ticking, right?
Right, that seasonal pressure.
Exactly. It's creating this intense seasonal urgency to just finalize a move before August. But the question is the real estate market actually matching the summer heat, or is the engine like quietly stalling out?
That's the big question.
So we are zeroing in on a very specific dynamic patch of Texas dirt today, which is Parker County, located just west of Fort Worth.
And honestly, it's the perfect laboratory for this discussion.
It really is.
Because Parker County sits right on this sort of fault line between dense, rapidly expanding suburban sprawl and legacy Texas rural acreage.
Yeah, you have two totally different worlds colliding.
Exactly. The economic behaviors you see in a subdivision in, say, Aledo or Weatherford are just crashing right into the economics of cattle ranches and equestrian estates.
So to figure out your best strategic move in this highly nuanced environment, whether you are, you know, looking to buy a suburban single family home, sell a ranch, or just want to understand where the local economy is heading, we are pulling from a massive stack of localized data today.
We've got a lot to get through.
We do. On the desk right now, we have the North Texas Real Estate Information Systems, or Entry ICE, local market update.
Right.
We have the Market Watch quarterly report, the Texas A&M Real Estate Research Center MLS summary, and some highly specific June 2026 market highlights from Pete Realty.
And they are a local brokerage with deep roots in North Texas farm, ranch, and residential properties.
Right, which gives us that boots on the ground perspective. So our mission today is to cut through the broad, confusing national real estate headlines and decode exactly who holds the leverage right now in Parker County.
But, you know, before we can understand who holds the leverage on the ground, we have to establish the overarching financial constraints that are basically governing the entire region.
The weather system sitting over everything.
Precisely. The macro weather system. Because the cost of borrowing is currently dictating the behavior of every single buyer and seller in North Texas.
Right. So let's look at that midsummer reality for July 2026. The average conventional 30-year fixed rate in DFW is hovering at 6.55%.
With an APR of 6.69%? Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a slight tick upward after a period of stabilization we saw back in April 2026, where rates were teasing us right around that 6% mark.
And that April tease, it was psychologically significant for a lot of people.
Because they thought relief was coming.
Right. Buyers started to come off the sidelines, anticipating a slide down into the fives. But the reversal, back up to 6.55% in July, firmly established what the data is really calling the new normal.
The new normal, meaning stop waiting for 3%.
Exactly. The pandemic era rates are gone, and the market is finally being forced to digest this mid-6% reality. And the primary driver here, the reason it's so stubborn, is the 10-year Treasury yield, which has remained stubbornly above 4%.
Wait, let's pause right there, because this is something that gets thrown around in financial media all the time, right?
Constantly.
But it rarely gets explained. Why the 10-year Treasury? I mean, most people are taking out 30-year mortgages.
Right.
What is the actual plumbing connecting a government bond yield on Wall Street to, you know, a home loan in Parker County?
Well, it all comes down to how mortgages are actually funded behind the scenes.
Okay.
When you walk into a local bank in Parker County and get a 30-year mortgage at 6.55%, that bank doesn't usually just keep your loan on their books for 30 years.
They need their cash back.
Exactly. They turn around and sell it on the secondary market to entities like Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, who then bundle thousands of these mortgages together into mortgage-backed securities.
The MBS.
Yes, MBS.
So my mortgage becomes a tiny slice of a massive bond that gets sold to global investors.
Yes, exactly. And those global investors are comparing the yield on that mortgage bond to the yield on a completely risk-free asset, which is U.S. government debt.
Right, because why take a risk if you aren't getting paid more for it?
Precisely. Now, even though your mortgage says 30 years on the paperwork, the financial industry knows that the average American homeowner either sells their house or refinances every 7 to 10 years.
Ah, okay, so the life expectancy of that 30-year loan is actually only about a decade in practice.
That is the linchpin right there. Because a mortgage practically lives for about a decade, investors price mortgage-backed securities against the 10-year Treasury yield.
That makes total sense.
Right. So the 10-year Treasury is basically the wholesale cost of money. And the mortgage rate you pay is the retail markup.
I love that framing. The retail markup.
Yeah. Investors demand a premium, usually around 1.5 to 2 percentage points above the Treasury yield, to take on the risk of a homeowner defaulting, plus the administrative costs.
So if the 10-year Treasury yield, the wholesale cost, refuses to drop below 4%, it mathematically prevents the retail mortgage rate from dropping below 6%.
Exactly. The 4% yield is acting like a massive magnetic concrete floor. Every time mortgage rates try to dip, the wholesale cost pulls them right back up.
And that magnetic floor is entirely reshaping buyer psychology in North Texas right now. I mean, if we look at the transaction volume, buyers aren't fleeing the market entirely, even with that 6.55% rate.
Right. The initial shock is sort of worn off.
Yeah, if you need a larger home because of a growing family or, you know, you are relocating for work, you can't put your life on hold forever waiting for the Treasury yield to collapse.
You really can't. Life happens.
But if borrowing money is this expensive, buyers are going to demand options. They are not going to settle for a mediocre house at a premium price with a 6.55% rate attached to it.
Definitely not. Which brings us to the supply side of the equation.
Yes, we need to look at what happens when that macro tension between the constraint of high rates and the liberation of rising inventory collides directly with the neighborhoods of Parker County.
So let's pull the June 2026 active inventory numbers from that entries report.
Okay, here we go. In June 2026, active inventory sat at 1,548 homes for sale in Parker County.
Right.
But on the surface, this contradicts the narrative of rising inventory giving buyers choices.
How so?
Well, that 1,548 number is actually down 8% from the 1,683 homes on the market at the same time last year. So raw inventory is down year over year.
I see what you're saying. But raw inventory is an incredibly blunt instrument for measuring market dynamics.
Just a snapshot, right?
Yeah. It just tells you how many signs are in yards on a specific day. To understand the actual leverage, like the speed and the friction of the market, you have to calculate the months of supply.
Right. Let's define that clearly for everyone listening.
Sure.
Months of supply basically calculates how long it would take to sell every single home currently on the market if no new homes were ever listed, right? Based on the current real-time pace of sales.
Exactly. And in June 2026, Parker County hit 5.8 months of supply.
Which is pretty significant.
It is, because that is a 13% drop from the 6.7 months of supply they had a year prior.
And this is where it gets really interesting. A perfectly balanced market, where neither the buyer nor the seller has a distinct advantage, is universally considered to be exactly 6 months of supply.
Right, the six-month pivot point.
Yeah. So the Parker County market is operating like a seesaw.
I like that analogy.
Last summer, at 6.7 months, the seesaw was leaning toward the buyers. They had the time to negotiate, to ask for concessions, to really be picky.
They absolutely did.
But right now, at 5.8 months, that seesaw has just clicked past the center point. It tipped the leverage slightly back to the sellers.
And if you take that a step further and look at the momentum of that seesaw, the picture gets even clearer. You noted earlier that year-over-year inventories are down.
Right, down 8%.
But if you look at the progression within 2026 itself, the story changes completely. In Q1 2026, there were 4,406 homes for sale.
Okay.
But by June, it climbed to 1,548. So the inventory is actually swelling as the year progresses.
Oh, wow. So why are sellers jumping in now, right in the middle of the summer, driving that number up from Q1?
It's a behavioral response to market signaling.
What do you mean?
Well, many of these sellers have been sitting on the sidelines for the last 18 months. They saw the market leaning toward buyers last year at 6.7 months in supply, and they just refused to list.
They didn't want to get bullied into rate buy-downs or covering closing costs.
Exactly. They were waiting for the market to firm up. Now they see the metrics dipping below 6 months. They see the leverage tipping slightly in their favor, and it's triggering this wave of deferred listings.
Okay, but I have to challenge this because this brings us back to the contradiction I mentioned in the very first breath of this deep dive.
Right, the pricing paradox.
Yeah. If the seesaw has tipped back to the sellers and they suddenly hold the leverage, basic economics dictates that prices should be skyrocketing.
You would think so.
Sellers have the upper hand, so they should be extracting maximum value. But that is not what the data shows at all.
Let's trace a pricing timeline to see exactly where that contradiction happens.
Okay. Back in Q1 2026, the median sales price in Parker County was a robust $460,000, which was up 6% from the previous year.
A strong start to the year.
Definitely. And March alone saw a massive 12.6% spike in median sales price. The spring was incredibly lucrative for sellers.
The momentum was clearly building.
But then we look at the Peet Realty June 2026 report, and it explicitly states that the headline median price ticked down slightly.
Right in the middle of the summer surge.
Exactly. The overall median price of a home dropped. Yet, and this is the absolute paradox here, sellers netted a higher share of their asking price in June than they did a year ago.
The list-to-sale ratio improved.
Yes, the list-to-sale ratio improved even as a median price softened. Are sellers just finally stopping pricing their homes like it's 2021?
Yes, and this is where we have to separate the concept of leverage from the concept of unlimited purchasing power.
Okay, unpack that.
A seller might have the leverage in terms of supply, right? But the buyer's purchasing power is chained to that 6.55% interest rate.
Ah, the concrete floor we talked about. It's forcing discipline onto the market.
Exactly. Think about the mortgage qualification math. The banking sector enforces strict debt-to-income, or DTI, limits.
Right.
With rates sitting in the mid-sixes, a massive portion of a buyer's monthly payment is evaporating into pure interest.
Yeah, it's painful to even look at an amortization schedule right now.
Right. So a buyer who could comfortably afford a $550,000 house when rates were at 4% can now only qualify for a $450,000 house.
Because the monthly payment on the $450,000 house today is the same as the $550,000 house back then.
Exactly. So the seller can have all the leverage in the world regarding supply, but if the buyer's bank says no, the transaction fails.
So sellers are finally realizing that aspirational pricing is just dead.
Completely dead.
You can't just slap an extra $100,000 on your Zillow listing to see what happens like it's, you know, the pandemic boom.
The days on market metric really reinforces that realization too. In Q1, homes in Parker County were sitting for an average of 91 days.
91 days. I mean, think about that. That is a quarter of a year keeping your house absolutely pristine.
It's exhausting.
Packing up the dog and the kids every time a showing is scheduled, enduring open houses on the weekends, and slowly dropping your price a few thousand dollars at a time. It's basically psychological torture for a seller.
It really is. And sellers in June looked at the wreckage of those 91-day listings from the spring and adapted.
They learned the hard way.
They did. To avoid that friction, they are pricing realistically from day one. If the comps say the house is worth $450,000, they're listing it at $450,000.
Which explains the paradox completely. Because we don't have these inflated, delusional $550,000 listings skewing the data upward, the overall median price of the county softens slightly.
Exactly.
But because the $450,000 listing is mathematically accurate and fair, a buyer comes in, looks at the limited 5.8 months of supply, and immediately offers the full $450,000 asking price to lock it down.
So the median price drops, but the list-to-sale ratio climbs to nearly 100%.
That's wild.
It is a highly rational, highly functional market dynamic. Tantrums and the crazy bidding wars are over. Buyers and sellers are basically sitting at the table, looking at the macroeconomic constraints and doing the math together.
It's almost refreshing, honestly.
It is.
But everything we've dissected so far, the seesaw, the 5.8 months of supply, the hyper-rational pricing, applies almost exclusively to the suburban single-family space.
Right, the subdivisions creeping out from Fort Worth.
Yeah, but Parker County has a totally different side to its identity. I mean, if you drive just a few miles past the Weatherford city limits, the sidewalks literally disappear, and you are staring at massive open pastures.
The agricultural and equestrian sector is not just a cultural backdrop for Parker County. It is a massive economic driver.
It really is. I was looking into the background of Peet Realty, the brokerage that provided the granular June data.
Oh, yeah.
The principal there isn't just selling houses. He actually has a background raising British white cattle.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and he cares for retired Tennessee walkers that ride the North Texas LBJ Grasslands Trail System.
That is serious rural integration.
Exactly. And that level of integration means we have to treat dirt out there as a completely different asset class than, a quarter acre lot in a subdivision.
And the data for that asset class tells a story that completely defies the suburban trends we just discussed.
Defies is an understatement. In June 2026, there were zero dedicated farm property closings in Parker County.
Zero.
Not a single one.
We really need to contextualize that zero, though.
Okay, please do.
Because in the entries categorization, a true farm is an operational, income-producing agricultural asset.
Okay.
Those properties are largely legacy assets. They are passed down through trusts or families, or they are absorbed quietly by neighboring operations. They rarely hit the open MLS for a retail buyer.
Oh, that makes sense. It's not just transitional dirt, it's a functioning business.
Right. But if we pull back to the broader land category, which
Yeah.
captures rural acreage, raw dirt, and transitional pasture sales, actually spiked by 28% year over year.
Wow.
Yeah, that was 41 transactions in June. The average land price shot up 13% to $194,664, but the median dipped 3% to $120,000.
Okay, when the average spikes violently upward while the median dips, it indicates that the middle of the market parcels lost a little value, but a handful of massive multi-million dollar land acquisitions occurred at the top end.
Exactly, dragging the average up with them.
But I need to stop you right there because there is a data point in this rural section that makes absolutely no sense.
Let's hear it.
We just established that suburban homes are moving fast at 5.8 months of supply, right?
Right.
According to the June data, land in Parker County is currently sitting at a massive 19.5 months of supply.
Nearly 2 years of inventory just sitting dormant on the market.
Buying a suburban home right now is like merging onto a busy highway. You check your blind spot, you signal, and you move fast.
Very fast.
Buying land is like steering a massive cargo ship. It takes forever to maneuver. But here's where I'm really pushing back on this data. If there is almost 2 years of inventory just sitting there, that is a massive glut.
It looks like a glut on paper, yes.
And a glut means supply heavily outweighs demand, which means prices should be crashing through the floor. But the data says average land prices shot up 13%, and even the median only dipped a negligible 3%.
Right.
That completely defies basic supply and demand. What is broken here? Why aren't sellers slashing prices when their dirt sits for 19 months?
To understand why the price floor isn't collapsing under a 19.5-month supply, you have to look at the tax code.
This tax code.
Specifically, the agricultural exemption.
Ah, the ag exemption. This is basically the invisible shield for Texas landowners.
It really is. It alters the financial physics of holding property entirely.
Walk us through that.
Well, if you own 50 acres of raw land in Parker County, and the appraisal district assesses it at market value for its potential to become, say, a subdivision.
Your annual property tax bill could be absolutely crippling.
Exactly. It could easily cost you tens of thousands of dollars a year just to hold the dirt.
And under that kind of pressure, a 19.5-month wait for a buyer would force you to slash your asking price just to stop the financial bleeding.
Right. But that's not how they are taxed.
Because of the exemption.
Yes. If you run a small herd of cattle on that land, or if you cultivate it for hay, the state of Texas taxes that property based on its agricultural production value, not its speculative market value.
Wow. So that tens of thousands of dollars tax bill suddenly shrinks to just a few hundred dollars?
Exactly. So the carrying cost of holding that asset drops to essentially zero.
That changes everything.
It does. When it costs you almost nothing to hold the land, the pressure to sell evaporates. You can comfortably list your 50 acres at a premium price, let it sit on the MLS for a year and a half, and simply wait for the one specific buyer who is willing to meet your number.
So the 19.5 months of supply isn't a sign of economic distress at all.
Not at all. It is a symptom of sellers having the financial luxury of extreme patience.
Okay, that perfectly explains the seller side. But why is the buyer pool so small that it takes 19 months to find one? Dirt is dirt. Why is it moving so much slower than the houses?
Because a bank looks at vacant land as a drastically higher risk profile than a primary residence. Financing raw land is a completely different universe than getting a conventional mortgage.
Right, because you can't live in a pasture.
Exactly. First off, you aren't putting 3% or 5% down like you might on a house. Land loans typically require 20% to 50% down in cash.
50% down. That immediately shrinks your buyer pool to people with massive liquidity.
Massive. and the interest rates on land loans are noticeably higher with much shorter repayment terms.
Yeah, that makes it tough.
Furthermore, the timeline for utility is entirely different. If you buy a house in Weatherford, you get the keys and move your furniture in on Friday.
You're grilling in the backyard on Saturday.
Exactly. If you buy 20 acres of raw land, you have to survey it, conduct soil tests, pull permits, drill a water well, install an aerobic septic system, bring in electrical poles, and then spend a year building a custom home.
The timeline from purchase to actually sleeping on the property is measured in years.
Yeah.
The back-to-school urgency of July completely disappears.
All right, doesn't even factor in.
Yeah.
So when you see that 28% jump in land sales volume we talked about earlier,
yeah,
it means activity is happening. But it is happening at a glacial, highly calculated pace. If you are entering the rural market in Parker County, patience isn't just a virtue. It is the fundamental currency of the transaction.
So if we pull all of this together, we have a fast-moving, slightly seller-favored suburban market where rational pricing wins.
Right.
We have a highly saturated, extremely slow-moving rural land market protected by ag exemptions.
Yes.
And hovering above everything, we have this macroeconomic weather system of a 6.55% interest rate anchored by the 10-year treasury.
That's the landscape.
So how does a listener actually use this information today? Let's distill this into actionable strategies, starting with the sellers.
Well, for sellers in the residential suburban space, the data provides a very clear roadmap.
What should they do?
The combination of shrinking days on market and improved list-to-sale ratios is incredibly favorable, provided you respect the constraints of the buyer.
Mercilessly punish your own overconfidence.
That is the perfect way to phrase it. If you try to test the waters with an inflated aspirational price, buyers will not even counteroffer.
They'll just ignore you.
They will simply scroll past your listing on their apps. They have 5.8 months of supply to choose from. They do not need to entertain a seller who hasn't accepted the 2026 reality.
Right.
But if you price surgically to the current comps, you will capture that eager summer buyer and get out cleanly.
Okay, let's look at the buyers. Hearing that the seesaw just tipped back to sellers while you are staring down a 6.55% rate sounds pretty grim.
It does sound intimidating.
But there is a massive strategic loophole buried in the Peat Realty data regarding 15-year conventional loans.
Ah, yes. This is crucial.
The 15-year conventional buyers are currently locking in rates at 5.93%.
Right. They are breaking through that 6% psychological barrier.
Now, obviously, a 15-year mortgage means your monthly payment is going to be significantly higher because you're compressing 30 years of principal repayment into 15. But I don't want to focus on the basic mechanics of a shorter loan. I want to talk about the strategic arbitrage here. If a buyer has strong cash flow, how can they use this to cheat the new normal math?
It really comes down to wealth building versus cash flow management.
Okay, explain that.
The 6.55% rate on a 30-year loan means that for the first decade, your payments are almost entirely servicing interest. You are barely chipping away at the principal.
You're just renting the money from the bank.
Exactly. But at 5.93% on a 15-year schedule, the amortization curve is vastly different. You are aggressively building equity from month one.
And if we combine that aggressive equity building with the improving inventory picture, the fact that active listings grew from Q1 to June, the buyer actually regains a lot of control.
A tremendous amount of control.
You might be paying a higher monthly premium, but you have the luxury of 1,548 active listings to choose from.
Right.
You don't have to waive your inspection. You don't have to cover an appraisal gap. You can demand a clean house, negotiate reasonable repairs, and secure a sub 6% interest rate.
It allows the well-capitalized buyer to dictate the terms of the asset quality, even if the macro environment dictates the cost of the capital.
It is a fascinating snapshot of a market in transition. Parker County in July 2026 proves that national headlines are practically useless when you are trying to make a localized six-figure financial decision.
Absolutely useless.
The leverage completely flips depending on whether you are standing on a concrete driveway in a subdivision or a pasture of LBJ grass.
Which is why granular, localized data analysis is the only shield you have against broad market volatility.
Absolutely. But before we wrap up this deep dive, I want to look at the horizon.
Let's do it.
There is a forward-looking forecast included in the Texas A&M Real Estate Research Center data that completely reframes everything we just talked about.
You're talking about the projection for rate easing.
Yes. The forecasters at Texas A&M are projecting a gradual easing of those macroeconomic mortgage rates down into the 5.0% to 5.6% range by late 2026.
That would be a massive shift.
Now, I want you to think about the physical reality of Parker County if that actually happens. Think about that massive 19.5-month stockpile of rural land currently sitting on the market.
Oh, it's a dormant volcano of inventory.
Right. If the 10-year Treasury yield finally cracks and borrowing costs suddenly drop by a full percentage point in a few months, it is going to unleash a flood of purchasing power.
An absolute flood.
What happens to that slow-moving cargo ship of land supply?
It turns into a speedboat. A drop in rates doesn't just empower families looking for small acreage. It empowers institutional developers.
The subdivision builders.
Exactly. When the cost of capital drops, developers can suddenly secure the massive commercial loans needed to acquire 500-acre tracts of that dormant land.
And they have the capital to just wait it out.
Right. They will swoop in, buy up those multi-million dollar parcels that have been sitting for 19 months, and begin cropping them up into quarter-acre lots.
Wow. It would radically transform the rural equestrian character of Parker County almost overnight. The asphalt will aggressively push further into the dirt.
It changes the entire local ecosystem, the infrastructure, school districting, property tax assessments, everything.
So if you are looking at this market right now, you know, don't just look at the houses. Keep a very close eye on the dirt.
Definitely.
Because the moment that financial weather system breaks, the landscape of Parker County is going to change permanently. As the Texas summer heat continues to bake the Metroplex and that back-to-school urgency drives the suburban market, remember that the data gives you the map you need to navigate the contradictions.
You just have to know how to read the mechanics beneath the numbers.
Exactly. Until next time, keep your eyes on the dirt.